Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to an election night edition. Even though it's not election night, it's the night after.
America decides.
Yeah, get a crazy graphics and chyrons going. It's the Woke Bros, of course. I'm your co-host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambray. I'm joined by the one and only Nando Vila on the west side of Los Angeles. What's up, brother? Good, man. Good. Just chilling, man. You know, I woke up this morning because I used to be that person that would throw on MSNBC and just watch it as the election results came in and, you know, listen to the analysis and get all deep divey and go crazy, go nuts. I used to be that person. I'm no longer that person. I'm just like, yo, I will read the results tomorrow. I'll read people who have ideas about what, if anything, any of this means big picture-wise going forward. And that's it. And, you know, I woke up to the news that the red wave that was supposed to engulf the Dems and their hapless government just never came. You know, I think they're gonna barely take the House back, which sucks, but it's not as if the Dems were doing anything with that House advantage anyway. And I think at best, there's like 4 races still out there, if I'm not mistaken. And at best, they could get to 52, but there's no wave. It's not some overwhelming thing that people thought was going to happen.
Yeah, especially because, and this is like the second time this happens, where Florida, for whatever reason, counts their votes very quickly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they get the results come in very quickly from Florida. That's on the East Coast, and it's early, and and fucking
so
Ron
that
DeSantis
starts a narrative going for the night.
Yeah, and Ron DeSantis won by 20 points in a state that Obama won twice, you know? Ron DeSantis won by 20 points. Like, that is crazy in our polarized world, especially Florida's supposed to be a swing state. It's supposed to be one of the biggest swing states.
It used to be anyway, yeah.
Yeah, until, and honestly, like, yes, DeSantis is a savvy guy. DeSantis beat Andrew Gillum for the governorship 4 years ago by like a hair, you know, by like half a point. 4 years later, 20 points up. I think it goes to show just how badly the Florida Democratic Party is, who, you know, poured tons of money to elect Charlie Crist, who was a former Republican.
Absurd. You know, just absurd, bro.
Who no one likes, you know? And then Val Demings.
How can that be the idea that, Charlie Crist, who, you know, folks don't remember, he had his own situation, struggles back in the days, couple of ridiculous scandals. Whose idea was that, that this guy could, like, do something in there?
Yeah. No, it's they Dems always think this, in that, like, they're like, oh, to beat the Republican, we'll get a Republican.
You need a light Republican, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like,
no, he's a rhino. They don't like him. He's not.
They don't like him.
He's not gonna clip off any Republican voters. That's a fallacy, right? Cause, like, this is what I love. Like, you'll hear. I remember when it was like back when it was slightly embarrassing, or some conservatives felt slightly embarrassed by the idea that they pulled the lever for Trump and that they didn't like him. You'd hear people say, well, he was not my candidate. You know, I was a really big Ted Cruz person, but Ted Cruz didn't win the nomination, so I had to pull the lever for Trump. You know, like, there's always this, like, fake, they do the fake performative stuff, but, like, none of these people want some moderate, you know, just some chaste Republican. That's not a thing.
Well, certainly, you know, certainly it depresses turnout amongst the Democratic base, because he's completely, you know, so, and that was a huge problem in Florida, is just the Democrats just didn't come out for him at all, because he's just a wet noodle and a former Republican. Like, why would they trust him? You know, you contrast that with someone like Fetterman, who is not a moderate, like, he doesn't run as a moderate. He doesn't run, you know, he reads moderate because he just sounds like a regular guy. But he is a bold alternative that gets people excited to vote for him. And that's how he won in Pennsylvania, and he won pretty handily in a state relatively handily. But yeah, I mean, in Florida, it was a disaster. I mean, the DeSantis won by 20. Marco Rubio, who, like, no one really likes either. You know, DeSantis, actually, people like him. No one likes Marco Rubio. He won by, like, 15 points.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nobody goes, yeah, oh, man, Marco Rubio is kicking the libs' asses in the Senate, or he's like this hardcore Republican. Like, nobody feels that way, and he's comfortably winning his race.
Yeah. So, yeah, he won by 15 points against Val Demings, and I think, like, Democratic donors poured something like $80 million or $70 million into that race, and only to lose by 15 points. But then shit started changing as results started coming in. I think people were surprised that Abigail Spanberger won in Virginia. She was that Democratic congresswoman that, like, went against AOC like a year or two ago. Do you remember that?
No, she was supposed to lose.
All right, whatever. She was supposed to lose, you know, pretty comfortably, and she won. And people were like, and then Fetterman won in a state, in a race that, you know, was kind of considered a toss up, but he won pretty handily, and I think that kind of put a damper
kibosh
on the red wave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still wide open in the sense that, you know, the Warnock Herschel Walker race, and that's an interesting one, is going to go to
is going to go to a runoff again. Yeah, Jesus again. Christ, Georgia. That's those two dudes just drawing completely even. I'm sorry, like, that. I know this is serious business. It's the United States Senate, but that shit is hilarious, bro. That's hilarious. And I know the instinct to be like, oh, it just shows you the depravity of the conservatives, and they're just so depraved and disgusting and blah. That's how you're supposed to feel about that. But, you know, I think a lot of conservatives have made the calculation like, bro, we want a Republican in there. It don't matter who, what, whatever. If we know he's going to comfortably vote with us, that's it. And it's like testing the extremes of that. Because I seen a 538 joint headline that said, candidate quality mattered, right? And in certain senses that it did. Like, there are, like, you know, these states where a Republican might have won the governorship in double digits and then, you know, lost the Senate or whatever, right? It just shows you that, like, it's not just this, you know, sort of partisan hackery that goes involved. Like, if you have a quality candidate, they can kick ass, or if you have somebody terrible, conversely, they can lose, except in Georgia.
The interesting thing about Georgia is that the race for governor, which is a rematch between Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp, in which that race 4 years ago, Stacey Abrams lost by a hair. I think she lost by like 50,000 votes, you know? Mm-hmm. She got crushed. Like, absolutely crushed. She lost by like 7 points, you know? Like, the Brian Kemp won it comfortably. you know, with like 55% of the vote. And that shows you that there was a penalty to Herschel Walker, that like the Republicans in Georgia just are more and they're happy with their, you know, boring ass Republican governor. But like Herschel Walker was like, you know, just a fucking disaster. Like there was a penalty there that the Republicans faced by nominating.
It's definitely a penalty, but it's not severe enough. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm
not
saying.
Severe enough. But the thing, so in the runoff, I was actually looking at the runoff from 2 years ago, the Ossoff, the double mm-hmm. runoff in Georgia 2 years mm-hmm. ago. Ossoff lost in the first round by 2 points, and then he won wow. in the runoff. So it's wow. really all to play for. You know what I mean? Kind of, it's still really like up for grabs. Like I can see. In a sort of runoff election in which it's just Warnock versus Walker and not all the other shit, you know, not I can see like the
yeah, that's some libertarian guy running in there, all of that stuff.
Yeah, and just like and but also like not, you know, people not showing up to vote for the governor and like who they like and maybe they just like do Republican on all the way down the line or whatever. I can see like that Walker penalty just kind of, you know, being more severe, especially because as time goes on, his shit got worse, you know, like time was not on Herschel Walker's yeah. side. So, you know, I do think Warnock probably pulls it out. The other one that looks like the Dems are going to win is in Arizona. Mark Kelly, the astronaut, against Blake Masters, who's like Peter Thiel's little bitch. Do you know this guy, Blake Masters? Have you seen him?
No, but, you know, I read a little thing about Peter Thiel's just hyper-politicization now, where this guy is just like, he's a Twitter person, essentially. Like, he's just crazy yeah. and throws his money all around. I know, isn't J.D. Vance one of his
he
concoctions?
Won. He won pretty, yeah. He won, they're like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're part of the same kind of little dork crew. Yeah. You know, they're like... They're just like these nerdy ass conservatives that are like, well, and they like love Peter Thiel. God, I hope Blake Masters loses. He's such a fucking dork. Like, I like, yeah. you know, he's just such an insufferable dork. And it looks like he's going to lose. Looks like the Dems are going to lose in Nevada, which was the other big kind of swing one that they needed to hold. This woman, Cortez Masto, the first Latina senator, she's probably going to lose in Nevada. But yeah, not the red wave. And it's interesting to think about why. I do think that there's kind of two dynamics. One, there's just a broad kind of rejection of the Republicans as extreme in the wake of the abortion, in the wake of Dobbs, mm-hmm. you know, the abortion thing. I think people were just like, whoa, this
yeah,
is
yeah, because straight up in a bunch of Republican states, they put the shit on the ballot and people were like, bro, come on. Yeah. Like, come on, man. This is a lot. You're asking for a lot now. So, yeah, I think there's something to be said about the extremism going, you know, not in their favor.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And then the other one, there's just like kind of like, I think that there is a dynamic in which like there is a split in the Republican Party between kind of like normie Republicans and then like Trump Republicans. And I think that Trump Republicans have an advantage in these primaries where the crazies really mm-hmm. kind of dominate. But then they're just turned off in the general election, you know, like I think Brian Kemp is a good example of kind of a normie Republican that in like just rode the fundamentals to a huge win.
Yeah.
You know, meaning like there was a, you know, inflation and president unpopular and blah, blah, blah. Like the regular punishment that a incumbent president faces in the midterms, he rode that wave. But the sort of more Trumpian types, the ones who are like stop the steal and like QAnon and, you know, Herschel Walkers and shit, like they suffered probably like a 5 to 6 point penalty.
Yeah. And I think even I say this all the time because I spend a lot of time in Georgia. In like my brother lives in a fucking exurb of Atlanta. And, you know, it's a hodgepodge of people. And I know like once you leave that little region, you know, you get to South Georgia and all of that. It ain't nothing like up there. You know, but this idea that Georgia's just like rapidly changing, like, no, it's not rapidly changing. It's certainly changing. Like, this place used to be straight up solidly conservative Republican, all of that, solidly red. And the demographic shifts are changing, and not just in race, but like, you know, college educated people and stuff like that. Like that, it's definitely changing the state. But like, yo, these folks like their Republicans, man. You know, you just give them that run of the mill Republican, they're gonna roll with that. And it feels like that's what's happening. I do want to get back to DeSantis, because I think a lot of the chatter has been that he had a victorious, you know, midterm night, because, you know, some Trump people got their asses kicked in Florida, whatever. DeSantis won handily. And, you know, people are saying, oh, DeSantis, he might have some wind in his sails, Nando. And, you know, I wonder, because, again, like, you're still in touch with people who live in Florida. What do you think is his appeal, and what does it mean going forward? Because I know we've been very dismissive of his 2024 chances, because Trump is just so much more personally charismatic than he is. Yeah. But what do you think about his sort of momentum and appeal going forward?
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
I mean, I've always said it from the beginning that DeSantis is like a clever guy in that he knows how to get attention for himself, which is half the battle in American politics these days. He understands that, but then he's actually like he's not a dummy. Like, he's just not like, you know, liberals who are like, look at this idiot. It's like, you know, he's a monster, but he's not like a dumbass. That's not his thing. He's savvier than he looks. And a shrewder politician than he looks. And I think part of his like popularity, I mean, I think a huge part of it is that he resisted COVID lockdowns and mm-hmm. mask mandates and all of that.
Quite savvily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whether savvily or not, like whether it was the right kind of policy from a public health standpoint or not is up for debate. And it's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that was a genuinely popular thing to do.
Yes, exactly.
So I don't know if it was the right thing to do from a public health standpoint, probably not, but from a just popularity standpoint, I think that was huge. I mean, I think like he was out there being basically the lone governor resisting all of that stuff. And, you know, he made the point like, look at Democrat California, it's falling apart and it's high taxes and blah, blah, blah. And people started moving to Florida because of the, I think a large part because it wasn't locked down at a time when everyone was bored out of their mind. Mm-hmm. And at a time when, and in a state when there's no state income tax. The other thing is that he, you know, he rails against wokeism, you know, as one does. And, you know, that's quite popular. It just is. Like amongst people of all shapes and colors.
I think
colors.
A lot of people are tired of it, yeah.
Yeah, like of all shapes and colors, that it's just kind of like gone too far. And, you know, he talks about it all the time, and he sensed that that is a winning issue for him, and it probably is. And again, not just with, like, you know, toothless Hicks in white Hicks, you know what I mean? That's that's with everybody. Like, Ron DeSantis won Miami-Dade County by like 6 or 7 points. Miami-Dade County hasn't voted Republican, I think, in like my, like, I don't know, in the longest time, like 20, 30 years. That is a solidly blue county. And, you know, despite the Cubans and despite everything, like, that is a solidly blue county and always has been. And Ron DeSantis flipped it. He won. It's not, it's just, he's more like that kind of stuff superficially. Is more popular than people realize, I think. And I think that's true. But so I think those two things are part of it. You know, he's he just gives the sense that of leadership, you know, in a twisted way. Like, he's out there. He's, you know, he's comfortable being in the limelight. He's comfortable being in the center of it, you know, which is part of being a leader. And I think people see him and they just latch onto it. He's not like one of these quiet guys who just, like, you know, like the, I don't know, like, it's so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's the main source of the appeal. I really think you can't underscore the COVID stuff as just a huge source of the appeal.
Yeah, the COVID stuff, I think, was the first sign of a crack in this liberal sort of firewall that I saw, where it was like, you know, people around me in my life who are like those liberals who are like, no, I'm proudly Democrat and I'm like, you know, I'm like really liberal and blah, 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 blah. Man, as soon as them badass kids had to stay home, they was like, yo, hey, listen, man, hey, we need to put them kids back in school. I don't give a damn about the COVID, the vax, the this, the that. It was like, I was like, damn. Because, like, you know, when you see it playing out on cable news or in the New York Times or whatever, and it's being like the sort of the COVID wariness, right, being painted as like, if you are really vigilant about COVID, that means you're a great dyed-in-the-wool liberal. Right. And you see that just being played and played and played. This idea that if you were down with the shutdowns and all of that, that made you, you know, that fortified your liberalness. And, you know, when the rubber hit the road, though, folks was like, bruh, listen, I loved Hillary. I voted for her. I'm going to do the Biden thing, whatever, blah, 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 blah. But boy, y'all got to open this stuff up. You know, we want to go to restaurants. We want to send our kids to school. We want to get back to living our lives. Like, I remember that. And, you know, that other part you talk about with woke, I think anti-wokeness is intersectional. You know, like, intersectional is like a buzzword for liberals. I think you can hit somebody in every quadrant, black male, black woman, whatever, gay white male, blah, 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 blah. And there will be something about the narrative of wokeness that gets on their fucking nerves, you know? And to play to that, I could see how that would work, man. Like, I could see how that would resonate with people. Because, you know, it's not hard for me to imagine some black or Hispanic male being like, yo, they're really going too hard about the feminism. You know, or what's up with D. Wade's kid? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could see it. I could just see that shit just clear as day in my mind's eye. So, you know, just the idea that somebody would run on that and play on those things and, you know, use it as a way to make them popular politically, I think is, you know, that seems to be right in line with what I see and know about people.
Yeah. It looks like Hugo Soto Martinez is going to win, former guest of this show, city council in LA.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Holy moly. That's what's up. Wow. Yep.
He's in the lead. He's got like a lead by, he's like 5 points ahead right now. It's still not fully counted. It's not officially called, but he seems to be in a strong position. Dude, the guest on this show.
Guest on this show, the woke bros bump.
The woke bros bump, baby. The woke bump. Yeah, man. I'm going to take all the credit. You know
that he worked his ass off. Obviously, ran an incredible campaign. But this guy is you know, he's got progressive values, union guy. Yeah. Like, shit, yeah. man. That is.
This dude organized his workplace when he was like 19 at a hotel.
Incredible stuff. Incredible yeah. stuff. And the last thing I want to get into, Nando, because I was thinking about this today. What does this mean for Biden going forward? I honestly think it's a good thing that they lost the House.
For and Biden? If they lose, just give, yeah. puts him off the hook. Leaves, you know?
This, bro, stop wasting my time with this. Oh, we gotta negotiate with Manchin and Sinema, and we got to maybe rip off some Republicans and just get to doing the shit you can do by fiat. Just fucking get to the presidential orders and keep it pushing it. We ain't gotta pay none of this lip service and this bullshit that Biden be doing. I don't wanna hear it. Just do your presidential orders, bruh. Veto all the bullshit they gonna send you because they inevitably are going to do that, and that's fine. Of course, not the military stuff. That's going to just get passed beautifully. And everybody's going to sing kumbaya about more guns all over the place and Halliburton and the rest of these clowns getting paid and shit. But yeah, man, just get to doing the shit like the college loan shit and just get to that. Just get to that for 2 years and that's it. I honestly think on the low, this is a good thing for Biden's presidency.
Maybe. I mean, what is going to happen is that in the Republican side, you know, Kevin McCarthy is the new Speaker of the House. Congratulations, Kevin mm-hmm. McCarthy, congressman from California, like the kind of the area just east of L.A., like not east L.A., like east of L.A., like in the
like know, the IE. Is that where McCarthy's yeah. is from?
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. like the Mojave Desert. He's got like a huge district because it's very depopulated. It's like right. like when you're driving out to Vegas, like and there's like nothing gotcha. Around. It's like that kind of okay. area. And he's the new Speaker of the House, and it's gonna be funny because they won by such a narrow margin. Because there's only like you know 3 or 4 seats that they have that makes the difference. That means that like the crazies have all the leverage, you know. Yep. So like, because
they'll just straight up not go with your plan.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't care about being down with the team and playing no. ball with y'all. Fuck that.
No, like Marjorie Taylor Greene like is not going to fucking play ball. No. You know what I mean?
No shot.
Yeah. And so that's going to be funny to watch because they're going to do some crazy shit. You know? Mm. Like they're definitely going to like launch all kinds of investigations into Hunter Biden's laptop and shit.
Yeah, do it.
You know?
Do it.
I mean, yeah, nothing's going to get done. You know, that's what happens with divided government. I mean, that's why the rich love divided government. I don't know if you saw Elon Musk, comrade Elon Musk, tweeting about how he's supporting like a ticket split, you know, like Democratic presidency and Republican. It's because the rich people, if nothing gets done, it's good
everything
for them,
will stay
you know?
The same. Yeah, we will stay yeah. rich as hell. No problems. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Brandon, who knows? I mean, Brandon is a fighter. I think like when you think Brandon's down and out, like he somehow... You know, yeah, like
somehow does something. I know.
You know, like Brandon was out in the primary, and then he won, and then Brandon, yeah. you know, was struggling in the general, and then he won, and then Brandon in this election, you know, historically unpopular, inflation, bruh, all that shit,
53% disapproval.
Yeah. And they, you know, they didn't get clobbered as bad as they thought yeah, they were gonna get clobbered.
For sure.
So you know, shout out to Brandon. So I don't know. I mean, it's just gonna be like a nightmarish situation in that nothing's gonna get done. It's gonna be a lot of noise. Like the crazies are gonna do a lot of like investigations. The libs are gonna go crazy mm-hmm. over the crazies. Oh, you know, man. It's gonna be a lot of shouting when nothing really getting done. So yeah, I mean, there was a couple like nice ballot measures that passed. You know, like those mm-hmm. kind of things, like. Psychedelic drugs legal in Colorado now. You know, that's nice.
Oh, shoot. Okay. So when we say it's psychedelic, what are we talking about? Magic mushrooms, like, LSD?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, not all of them. It's like, I think it's like somewhat limited. I don't know what it's limited to, but.
What's the shit that the people take in South America? Like, you do it with
ayahuasca?
Like a shaman? Oh, ayahuasca. That's the shit yeah. that Aaron Rodgers was on. Fucked up his yeah. whole season.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. South Dakota, like a super Republican state, mm-hmm. voted to expand
Medicaid. Yep, super nice. Yep.
Illinois passed a referendum to codify the right to collective bargaining in the state constitution. You know, the first state to ever do nice. So. You know,
nice. That's the and that's the opposite direction of right to work bullshit.
Exactly. Yeah. And it looks like Gretchen Whitmer, who's kind of like, you know, she's the Republican. I'm sorry, she's the Democratic governor of Michigan, who's kind of like the person they're thinking of as maybe like the next presidential candidate, you know, for down the future.
Oh my God, Jesus. Okay.
She's looks like she's gonna repeal the state's right to work laws.
Okay.
Yeah. Californians though overwhelmingly voted to against online sports betting. Did you see that?
Wait.
Remember those the two online sports betting things in California?
Sure. So people not gonna be able to use FanDuel in California anymore?
Yeah, basically.
That's crazy.
I don't know FanDuel, but like online sports betting in general, you know?
Yeah. Nah, I hear you. Wow. That's tough.
And they also voted to ban flavored e-cigarettes, like Juuls, like mango Juuls and shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's for the kids. I respect that. There's somebody who probably started smoking, unfortunately, in high school. I definitely favored the Newports, man, because they just tasted so minty. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. That's right. Newports.
Still love a menthol to this day, boy.
I'll fuck with menthol, you know?
Yeah, man. So, yeah, that's our election roundup, y'all. Make sure you become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings for a cup of Starbucks per month. We're putting a lot of extra content on there, a lot of new OG shows. We ain't been doing that in like 3-4 years. So make sure you're checking that stuff out. And we'll see you guys next week. Peace out.